Hello, and welcome to The Meaning and Mystery of Marriage. I'm Father David Sizemore. I'm the pastor of St. John Newman in Sunbury, Ohio, and I'm also the chaplain for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. And I'm joined in our studios today with Tina Birch, and she is the high school youth minister at St. John Newman, where I'm the pastor. And we have a special guest with us, Dan, who is a member of Courage. And Courage is a organization that works with and ministers to and offers support to persons with same-sex attraction and helps them to live a chaste lifestyle. So I'd just like to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of married love. We give you thanks for your gift of love to every single one of your sons and daughters, and how that is able to be expressed in such a variety of ways that holds to your truth and that holds to your mercy and receives your life and expects eternal life. We give you thanks for the many ways in which you have blessed our lives as individuals and how we are to share that blessing with one another in a single life and chastity, in married love and in religious life and in celibate living as a priest and religious sisters and brothers. We give you thanks, Lord, for your great love, and we ask you to continue to bless us in your love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're doing a 12-part series on marriage, the meaning and mystery of marriage. And what we've done so far, as just a quick recap, is we've talked about how God's plan is from marriage from the very beginning and the entrance of sin. We've talked about Christ redeeming marriage and about the vocation of marriage and marriage as a sacrament and a variety of other topics that we've covered. We just recently, as part of that whole discussion, Tina and I last week were able to speak about the church's teachings on same-sex attraction, because there's so much dialogue going on in our secular culture, very much a post-Christian culture that speaks of relationships between a male and a male and a female and calls that marriage. And so it would be appropriate then that as part of this total context and teachings about marriage that we would cover persons with same-sex attraction. So Tina and I covered that last week, and particularly a Christ-like response to individuals with same-sex attraction to their families and friends, and how we as Christians should conduct ourselves as Christians in our loving relationships with all human beings. And so today, as I mentioned, we're joined in the studio by Dan, and he's a member of Courage. And he's going to spend a little time with us today telling us a little bit about his own testimony, his own same-sex attraction, and where that's led him in life. And so, welcome, Dan.
Hey, thanks, Father. It's great to see you and Tina. It's good. I had fond memories of being down there with you in Columbus a month or so ago, so I'm happy to be chatting with you again and talking about this. It's an important thing that I like to do, to speak about God's redemption of something that's so controversial. But I've definitely reached a point where I can see the long view of my same-sex attraction to realize that God allowed this in my life for my good and for my sanctification, so that I would know my need for him. And it's actually the way that I came back to the Catholic Church, which is a strange thing to say in this day and age, that the reason I reverted to the Catholic Church is because of her teachings on homosexuality. But I guess I'll give you the nutshell of Dan's story. I was born into a Catholic family, baptized, had First Communion. After that, my family, in the post-Vatican era, Vatican II era, they decided to become evangelicals because they met some friends who could quote scripture, and they thought, well, that's a real sign of a vibrant faith. And like a lot of people in the 70s and early 80s, they got confused by that, left the Catholic Church. And I'm thankful that we landed at a church that had a commitment to the teachings of sexuality that really, for the most part, align with Catholic thinking. And certainly part of that was homosexuality. Well, it wasn't talked about much, but when it was talked about, and in adolescence, when I really, this became a part of my life that was very active, I didn't feel like I had anybody to talk to. So that was very difficult, but I also didn't ever try to believe that it was okay and acceptable for me to identify as gay or to come out as gay or to pursue a relationship with somebody. It was a confusing thing in my life that I didn't understand was there. And, you know, I was, like, I think most boys and girls in adolescence, you know, I prayed that God would take this away, but that didn't happen. And so I was forced with having to wrestle with what that meant in my life. And, you know, as adolescence progressed and through high school, I was really committed to my relationship with God. You know, I was at a private Christian school, and I took very seriously my faith, and my family did too. So it was just, chastity was essential in my mind that I needed to pursue chastity. I also held out hope. I wanted to be a father, and I wanted to have a wife. I was attracted enough to some girls that I thought, well, maybe God would bring somebody in my life that I could share my life with. And there's this terrific verse in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29:11, that I clung to, and it's "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And when I would sit there in struggle with these attractions and struggle with what it meant to be, you have these attractions and say, well, but I'm made for a woman, I would cling to that. But I would have to say that my view of God became sort of like a contract. If I was a good Christian boy and was chaste and did all this stuff, well, God would fill his end of the bargain and make me happy the way I wanted to be happy. And that was, in my mind, finding one woman that I could share my life with and have a family. And as I got older, I realized that wasn't happening. And I had some situations where I just felt very rejected by women, and I just, it was very painful, and it just caused me to actually lose any attraction for women at all for a period of time. And so, and during this time in high school and in college, well, you know, I we're talking about this topic, I'll be, you know, very tactful, but I got sucked into pornography, and my attractions for men got fed by that, and I lost really all attraction for women that I had. And I kind of had a crisis of faith in my late 20s and early 30s, and I felt like these promises of God were not happening. I felt like God was a distant kind of dictator who really, he just might provide food and a house and a job, but really wasn't concerned with my happiness and love. And I felt like he wasn't, you know, pulling his end of the bargain. I got very angry with him, and so much so that I turned my back on him. There's a basilica in town, and even though I wasn't Catholic, this three-dome basilica that I would drive by to work represented God, and I would shake my fist at it in anger, and I would, you know, just basically almost cursing God every time I went by that basilica. I just was so angry at him because I felt like, you haven't made me happy. I'm miserable, so I'm going to try to be happy the way I want to be happy.
And so what happened, Dan? Yeah, what happened?
Well, I ended up, I turned my back on God, and so I ended up deciding to go find somebody to have sex with for the first time, and it was a horrible experience. And I felt like you know, Satan always puts that lure of the veneer and the attractiveness of sin, but as we know from God, that always, it never is satisfying, fulfilling. And my answer, rather than to turn my back on doing that again, was to say, well, the reason that was a bad experience was because it wasn't in a relationship with another person. So I went on the search to find a guy to have a relationship with, and you know, I did. I found a guy, and we were together for a year. And he was and is a wonderful man. And I during that period of time, I was still angry at God, and I thought that he would kind of bring fire and brimstone on me, but that didn't happen. And I was also at that point starting to think, well, I'm probably going to share my life with this guy, is what my thought was. And at that point, I was thinking about how I'm going to come out, you know, and talk to my family, and my colleagues, and then an odd thing happened, in that I met a woman at work who I found attractive in every way, and I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't. That made me angry at God too, because I didn't want to be attracted to women anymore. And to make a very long story short, I got to know her a little bit and realized that I was really drawn to her. And so I went back and talked to the guy that I was dating at the time. And I told him this story because I wanted to be completely open about that. And one of the most Christ-like acts of love that I've ever received in my life came from this man that I was dating. And he said to me, Dan, he said, I know how much you have wanted to be a father, and you know, to have a wife, and see if that life could be for you. And if there's a chance that could happen, I'm willing to let you go. And he really died to himself in that moment. And I really, there's a lot of people in conservative Catholic and conservative Christian circles who just have a very unfortunate view of those who are in homosexual relationships, that just by the very fact of being in that relationship, they lose any sense of their dignity. And I one thing I fight about and talk about that is, no, this guy that I dated, the nobility of Christ called out to him, and he loved me in a very Christ-like way. And I think we have to be very careful of our prejudices in that regard. But fast forward a little bit, I dated this woman. I was still away from God and the church, but God brought a lot of healing to that relationship. I had hoped to marry. I hoped that she was the one, you know. But it turned out that she didn't want to have kids, and so the relationship didn't work out. And I was devastated. I thought, oh, finally the one woman that I could share my life with. And God, you yanked her away. It's like, you know, Abraham asking Isaac to, you know, or God asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. You know, and I said, what's going on? I don't understand your plans, these plans to prosper me and not to harm me. But I was willing to live in that tension. I didn't run away from God at that point. I had enough confidence of his love. In Romans, St. Paul says, do you not know that God's kindness leads you to repentance? And I found that this woman that came into my life was a sign of God's kindness. And so I started reading about the church's teaching, and I started reading about homosexuality, and I started reading about suffering, because I was certainly suffering in tremendous ways, and that Protestant answer to suffering is not sufficient to me, character development or testing. But when I ran into Colossians 1:24, you not know that, or basically, you know, Christ, St. Paul says, I complete in my afflictions what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, that this can be offered up, that there's a purpose behind it. And that really drew me towards the Catholic Church. And I also wanted to become convinced of the truth of sexual teaching. And I spent some time at a gay Christian forum, and I could never buy what is called gay theology, which uses scripture to justify some idea that God blesses same-sex unions, which I could never embrace. It just does too much injury to my rational mind. I'd have to give up just my rational thinking to accept that. But on the flip side of that, I wanted to know what the truth was and why the truth was there. And that ultimately led me to the bedrock foundation of the Catholic Church, because I knew that the Catholic Church is never going to change on this issue. And it was actually at a Courage conference that I decided to revert to the Catholic Church. And I was blown away. Cardinal Rogali was there. It was in Philadelphia. and all these bishops from all over the country and all these men and women just singing their heart out in praise to God, who are also committed to chastity, I just realized I need to become Catholic. And I came out of that mass, and the first person I told was Cardinal Regali. And I said, I have good news for you, Cardinal. I'm going to, after 30 years away, I'm going to become Catholic again. And he said, well, you've always been Catholic. And God is always good, and I'm excited for that. So that night, I had my first confession in 30 years. And the next morning, I was able to carry up the gifts that would become the bread and wine. And it was a really beautiful moment. And I haven't looked back. And my life, as a result of the path that the church teaches on sexuality, has been better and gets better and better all the time. I've really come to view chastity as the way I would have chosen to live right away if I truly knew who I was and if I truly knew what would bring me happiness and peace. So it's not that it's not without its challenges, of course. Sometimes I'm lonely. And sometimes, you know, obviously sexual temptation is still there. But I feel like it's a battle worth waging because I know that the path to peace and happiness and fulfillment is through the pursuit of chastity, which is a way of saying yes to how I was made to be, rather than focusing on what chastity says no to. The big thing about chastity, I think, and the greatness of the sexual teaching of the church is that it speaks to our dignity. And so that's what I like to focus on, especially with homosexuality. So I want to thank you for having me come on.
Yeah,
that's my nutshell story, my story in a nutshell there.
What a story, and what grace, and truly what courage. Where's the role of family in this? Tina and I have gotten to know you a little bit, Dan, over these last few months, and I remember you talking to us about your family and the support that your family has offered you, and through this story of your own family was away from the practice of the Catholic faith, and now they're all back, aren't they? And so,
yeah, God works out in remarkable ways in our lives, and it was devastating to my parents' best friends when the whole family left the Catholic Church, and of course they prayed and were there for my family. But there's something about the beauty of the Catholic Church that and the commitment to the truth that for each one of us in our family. I would say that was the theme. It was the commitment to the truth and the foundation that the church is, that it's just never going to change, which drew all of us in. And the Holy Spirit, you know, the Hound of Heaven, in his own way, kind of lured us all in. And I said, I'm never going to become Catholic. And then I would say, I'm not. My whole family's getting sucked into the Catholic vortex. And I vowed I never would be. But the Holy Spirit had different plans, and now we're just so filled with much more peace and happiness because of the fullness of the church and related to sexuality. You know, I have one brother who has a 10th child on the way. There's a challenge there. Of course, the world would say, oh, you're nuts to have 10 kids. But in their own way, they've also seen the beauty of the church's teaching on sexuality. And contraception and homosexuality are related because it separates sexuality from the procreative element, and it just becomes an issue of pleasure. So to not contracept is I think a challenge for Catholic couples in the same way for a challenge for me is that I need to lead a sexually continent life. And my family, My two brothers that have large families, you know, they have to rely on the grace and sacraments of the church just like I do. And my brother is a priest. Well, certainly celibacy is difficult for every person, even if you're a priest. So there is some commonality there in my siblings regarding sexuality. We've all, in our own particular way, we need to seen the truth of the church's teaching on sexuality and embraced it as good for us and what we would choose if we truly knew who we were.
That's very insightful, Dan, because what you're saying is that we all, in different ways as human beings, given our fallen nature, we all struggle with our sexuality. This is not just an issue for persons with same-sex attraction, and it's there for a religious sister or a brother. It's there for a priest. It's there for a husband and a wife of a very large family, and it's there for a person who has attractions to persons of the same sex. And what you're saying is that as your family has come back to the practice of the faith, part of what has drawn them back is the truth of Christ fully expressed in the Catholic Church, and understood and applied in their lives, in their sexual relationships, in a variety of different ways, and in their commitments and their vocations, and how each one of you now, I'm hearing this, are offering support to one another to live out your state of life. It's absolutely beautiful.
And Dan,
yeah, I feel very grateful, sure, for the support of my family, and that's not to say that there were times when I didn't want to see my family at all in this journey, but there was a lot of heartache in my parents, and there was a time when I just was waiting for them to die because I thought life would be better with them. So there's a lot of pain sometimes in families when somebody is going a path of sexual, license, whether it's homosexuality or sex before marriage, but God redeems all that, and now we're living in that other side where there's a lot of joy and happiness.
Dan, what I noticed in your story about coming back to the church and your family, and particularly you, is that the church encouraged you to be who you were created and called to be and didn't ask you to change. There are a number of groups out there that think that through prayer you can change your attractions, but the church didn't ask you to do that. It just asked you to embrace who you were and to live within the guidelines that the church puts forth, which, again, I want to say that the church never imposed that upon you, but proposed something better for you.
Right. Yeah, and I would say that the distinction that I would make to add to what you just said, the church does say, embrace and accept who you are. In the catechism, it says every man and woman should acknowledge and accept his sexuality. So who I am is a man who's made for women. That's what it means to be made, the sexual complementarity. Even if I don't subjectively experience that, I am made that way. But the church doesn't require me to try to bring about those sexual attractions. Of course, it's open to the possibility, but the question the church says is, are you willing to live in your state in life and live chastely? Though I do believe and would support those who desire to seek out some works of the secondary graces of reputable, psychologists to see if they would like to become more fully attracted to the opposite sex. And despite the reparative therapy bans that we have in California and potentially New Jersey, those can be successful. But it's a mistake if people think that that's the be-all and end-all. We have to abandon all things to divine providence. So for me, there was a point where I prayed to have that happen. But if I meet a woman that that I'm attracted to, the story there, I think I met the one woman that I've really been attracted to.
Dan, we've got about the 3 minutes left. Can you tell us some resources that you rely upon in your journey, in your everyday walk with the Lord, that our listeners, maybe as individuals who have same-sex attraction, or maybe parents or other family members would want to be able to get their hands on?
Yes, I would say to go to the website CourageRC.net. That is an apostolate of the Catholic Church. It's only the only Vatican approved apostolate of the Catholic Church for men and women of same-sex attraction. Blessed John Paul II said that courage is doing the work of the Church. And there is a great, if you click on resources, you'll see a lot of books and resources, which I recommend them all, especially the books by Father Harvey, who started the ministry. He's got several books there. I think for parents, he's got a book called Same-Sex Attraction, A Parent's Guide. And so there's a lot of resources there. I also think for men and women like me, finding a local courage chapter is really helpful. Father Benedict Grischel's book, The Courage to be Chaste, is very helpful. For someone who is dealing with loneliness, which is a very universal problem, I think one of the most helpful books was actually by a Protestant woman, The Path to Loneliness by Elizabeth Elliot, or The Path Through Loneliness. And in that, as a Protestant, she speaks about offering up our suffering. I think that's fantastic. And then for parents, I think going to getting involved with Encourage, which is the parental arm of Courage, that's very helpful. You need to have support in this if you're going to help your son or daughter find the truth again.
Wonderful. Thank you for being with us. This has been a very good session for us to be a part of in this whole context of the meaning and mystery of marriage. In our society today, Dan, there is a lot of confusion about what marriage is and what it isn't. And it's being used very loosely in the same-sex attraction arena and conversations in our secular culture. So you've offered a lot of insight and a lot of hope. And I want to thank you for being on with us today for this 12-part series on the meaning and mystery of marriage. And we're going to end now with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you are the gift of our life, and you give us the gift of life. You are the source of all human love, and we ask that we might first come to you to understand what real love is, and that as you told us, the two greatest commandments, that we might follow them, the commandment to love you with our whole minds, whole hearts, our all of our strength and our souls, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Lord, help us to first love you, and in loving you, know how to love ourselves. And then with your love and that self-love enlightened by your love, we might know how to love one another and to treat one another and to be with one another. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings upon our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Thanks, Dan, and thanks, Tina.
Thank you.